T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's 11 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So as Mike Baggerman just talked about on the news, this is going to be a very big night in NY27. Is it going to be a determinative night? No. In all likelihood, no. But one of the names, of course, that has come up to replace Congressman Chris Collins is the gentleman sitting to my left and your right on the radio. And that, of course, is David Bellavia. Now, we don't want to get into a situation of, you know, let's handicap the race. Pat Gallivan, Mike Ranzenhofer, you know, we don't want to get into that. But David, I mean, you've got the inside scoop on stuff. So in a nutshell, tell everybody what is going to happen tonight and why it is significant.
Well, I have the inside scoop is nobody has the inside scoop because they're all the chairman, 8 counties, Monroe County, Livingston, Orleans, Wyoming, Genesee, Erie, Niagara, and Ontario counties. Those chair men and women, there's 2 chairwomen, they will go and meet in Batavia. And they're going to sit down and more than likely they're probably going to pull out their calendars and talk about what the next process is. Now, there were 16 people. I think Sabercat jumped in at the very end. Buster Bison.
I thought Buster Bison was also in the running.
Well, Buster Bison had a few issues.
The elephants from the zoo?
Yeah, there was some issues with Buster
the
Bison.
The former elephants from the zoo.
He would not agree to not impeach Trump, and so they had to let him go. So, but there was 16 people at one point, maybe more. A couple people dropped out. And that number, you know, maybe around 10, they'll get that number down to maybe 5 or 6. And then there'll be a series of interviews with, you know, different county chairs and their executive town committees and whatnot. And I guess they're going to get together and hopefully in the next 10 days, according to Chairman Langworthy and other chairmen, they're hoping to have this decision done at least in 2 weeks. Before then, maybe 10 days. And then this our whole national nightmare can be over and we can move
national
forward.
National nightmare.
Whatever it is. It's not, I'll tell you what, this is uncharted territory. It's not something, and there's a bunch of new people that are running their counties, Republican parties right now. You've got, you know, Niagara County is fairly new, Ontario County, Wyoming County, Livingston County. So there are people that are not only new to the process, but this process is new. It's you know, it's something that hasn't been done in, well, you got to go back at least 7 years.
Explain something to the layman out there, David, because a lot of us don't understand what the big deal is about getting Chris Collins' name off the ballot. Why is that such an issue? Why is that so complicated? Why is that so complex? Just print up some new ballots. What's the big deal?
Well, there's a process, and you've got, you know, federal petitions are due in New York State. In order to run on the ballot, you have to have a number of signatures. And the federal primary is a different date than the state primary. Right now, Governor Cuomo is getting ready to debate Cynthia Nixon from Sexton City. That's because that's a state race, and the state primary, I believe, is September 23rd. So in order to run Chris Collins on another ballot, he would have to run on a state a position that is, you know, on the state ballot. So the primary is coming up. There's still time to get him on a state ticket. Here's the problem. You know, county chairmen and women, they want to put as many Republicans as they can in the positions that are available. So it would have to be a position that doesn't exist right now, which there's legality and issues. And of course, the Democrats are probably going to lawyer up and take them to court. They would be committing malpractice if they didn't. And then you have, you know, can you open up a seat? Is there a possibility where you could take maybe an assemblyman or maybe a state senator and create a vacuum, create an opening where you could then put Chris Collins on that line? And then, of course, you still have a candidate for this district. The priorities are, well, obviously, the federal Congress wants a congressman. By the Constitution, you can't appoint a congressman. You can appoint a senator if a senator doesn't fulfill his term, but you have to elect a congressman. So it's either a general election or it's a special election. In this case, there's no point in doing a special election because the general's coming up in November. In Ohio 12, we just saw a special election that occurred like 2 weeks ago, right?
Right.
Those two guys that faced off, the Democrat and the Republican won, but they're going to face off again in the general election, those same two individuals. There was a special, and now they're going to go out and they're going to – so he's basically a congressman for, you know, 85 days.
Right.
And then he goes into a general. If you look at Kathy Hochul, she won a special election in 2011, and then she went into a general election, and she got defeated by Chris Collins. So it was she was not a congresswoman for more than, you know, it wasn't a two-year term. She was a congresswoman for the special until the general, and that's when Collins defeated her.
Well, she didn't have enough time to get into a scandal.
No, you know, to her credit, there is, you know, not many people have, you know, Kathy Hochul is not regarded in the...
No, I'm just having fun. I'm just having fun.
No, she's not one of the... But again, it's not always a scandal. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes the people pass away. Sometimes there's... sometimes they get redistricted, right? You could have a situation. So in 2020, we're going to have a census come out. And then 2022, there's going to be redistricting. Now, unfortunately, because we live in the People's Republic of New York, a lot of New Yorkers are fleeing, like, you know, Saigon in 75. They're getting out of the state and going to states that are a little bit more genteel when it comes to state taxes.
And then, and by the way, I should point out, and a lot of Southerners are becoming increasingly resentful of this, David, because what happens is you get these schmucks from New York City, and they want to escape into a lower tax state, but then they move into the lower tax state, and they want all the amenities of New York. So they're destroying the South as we speak.
Well, listen, if you look at Fairfax County in Virginia, Virginia was one of the deepest, darkest red states in all the country, right? And then over a period of time, you started to see that Fairfax got really super blue. And now Virginia, it's not purple. Virginia has been a blue state because of the fact you've got so many out-of-state people moving into Virginia. You're seeing that in North Carolina. You see that in Florida, quite frankly. Florida used to just be an automatic gimme for the Republican Party. It's not that case anymore. Now, I always get a kick out of Texas because Democrats love talking about how Texas is in play this year. Hey, Texas, we're going to put a lot of money into Texas, and they shred their money every time they do it. I don't know. You know, Ted Cruz is in a close race. It looks like it's 2 or 3 points right now. Austin, the cities tend to be blue. Austin is a very progressive liberal city. I'm not sure that that still plays in the South and the Northeast of Texas, but New York is a blue state without a doubt. New York 27 is one of the reddest districts in the entire country. It's an R plus 11, Ohio 12, Pennsylvania, what is it, North Carolina 8. These have similar spreads. I mean, you look at like New York 27 carried Donald Trump 60%, right? You would say that 60% of this district is highly favorable of Donald Trump. They elected him. They like him. They're Trump people. You know, it's obviously difficult because of the way the district is drawn up for a Democrat. But the other issue, of course, is you got to get Collins off the ballot. I think as the days go on, you're hearing less concern about that. Right. I think the minds of the GOP in Erie, Niagara, and the rest of the eight counties, you know, some of these guys have been there forever. You know, Chairman Ed Morgan, I mean, in this district alone, he's elected 4 congressmen. You know, he's been there. They're not going to get tripped up with the technicalities. We look at it as laymen and we think, oh, how is this going to happen? What are the laws? Well, the GOP and the Democratic Party, they have people at the Board of Elections and attorneys that know New York state law inside and out. I think as the days go on, we're more confident that there is a path for Collins to get off the ticket and to put him into a seat. Now, is that going to mean an assembly, a Senate move up in a little razzle dazzle where you're able to put him in a seat that someone just vacated? Who knows? And then there's the problem of what if Chris Collins wins the seat? You know what I mean? You don't want to put him
if you can't get him. You mean if he's running for like state senate?
If he's I don't think they would bother risking a state senate seat. But if you put an assembly seat that was like the Republican was leading in the assembly in a Republican district, and Collins wins that seat, I mean that's a whole nother headache. But you know, there's solutions for everything. But I think these chairmen and women are going to sit down and they're going to plot a course, a calendar. When is this going to happen? Probably next week. And interview processes and who gets through the next round.
Okay, so
it's like Jeopardy.
Well, but I don't. So, David, there was some thought yesterday that Carl Palladino might be the guy that was going to be in the lead for the seat for reasons that, we talked about. Stefan Mihailu called into the show yesterday. There are certainly other names like that David Bellavia fellow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have been, I think, extremely gracious in this whole process. I mean, obviously co-hosting a radio show with whomever you co-host. And
co-host
David Bellavia.
Yeah, just a blank co-host. Look, I don't believe, and listen, Nate McMurray was running against, he was the David versus the Goliath, right? That candidate model was the underdog candidate model. Now, if you put Stefan Mihailu, for example, he has a TV background. Excellent on a microphone, excellent in front of a camera. He has run the most aggressive race of anyone involved. Absolutely. There is no question whatsoever that, Stefan Mihailu is ready and he wants this. But he was running the county executive race. He's a Erie County comptroller.
So he was ready and he wanted that too.
Well, what I'm saying though is that he's got he's an elected official in Erie County. Erie County holds 42% of the weight in this decision. And he's got the television background. You look at a guy like Ed Rath, who's been at the Erie County Legislature, a legacy family. Everyone knows that name. And he's...
Wait, time out. The same people who complain about dynastic politics and big money politics, but let's keep going.
But my point is that these are helpful. This is an 85-day race, and you don't want to introduce yourself, When you look at the rural counties, though, you've got Steve Hawley, an assemblyman, one of, if not the most conservative member of the New York State Assembly. David DiPietro, that's probably neck and neck. DiPietro is absolutely revered in Wyoming County and the areas that DiPietro has gotten out through the district because of his, very brazen stance against the SAFE Act. DiPietro was invited all over the state to talk. That built up name recognition. You've got... let me see, Razenhofer, who's a senator, was on the legislature for over 20 years, is now a state senator, and has a little bit of Monroe County, has the Genesee, and then you've got Ort, Senator Ort, who's a veteran. He filled Maziarz's Senate seat, so he brings Niagara County to the game, right? But then there's Senator Gallivan, former sheriff of Erie County. Gallivan, of course, very popular, been around for a very long time, never really, he doesn't stir the pot. There's not if there's a negative thing about Pat Gallivan, it's usually from a Democrat. It's not, he's a very safe and reliable voice in the Senate. And that's one of the main problems, that Senator Flanagan has had, who's basically saying, I don't want to lose one of these guys because we have such a slight margin. And remember, if the Democrats get a hold of the New York State Senate, that's going to be trouble in 2020 because that means that they're going to get the last say on redistricting, and that New York State R plus 11 might be D plus 2. Who knows?
No, I want to talk about that David Bellavia fella as well. All right, Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. So big meeting is coming up right now, and it involves NY27. So, David, what's up with the Carl Palladino situation? Carl Palladino caused quite a stir when he announced that he was going to be in it. Is the Palladino flame already extinguished?
Not at all. I mean, that's what we're going to find out tonight, who is going to go on to the next round. Carl Palladino is never going to be extinguished because there's only one candidate. I mean, look, Donald Trump got 60% of New York 27. Carl Palladino got 65% of New York 27. Now, yeah, that was 2010. It's 2018. But when people talk about, there's you might vote for a candidate, right? But do you show up when the candidate goes to speak at a local church or a local, you know, event? Paladino fans are true Paladino supporters. They didn't flake from Paladino. He is a force to be reckoned with. And here's the if you want to look for a clue as to what the Paladino effect was, New York 27 was, hey, Collins is, you know, stepped aside. All these candidates are up. Who took all the media as soon as they put their name in the race? Carl Paladino. MSNBC dedicated 10 minutes to an 8 p.m. primetime show doing nothing but attacking Carl Paladino. So they're not talking about Chris Jacobs or myself. They're not talking about Nate McMurray. They're not talking about anyone but Carl Paladino. He is, you know, he's a polarizing figure, but this is the closest thing to a political celebrity we have in Western New York. Carl Paladino is a national figure that happens to live in Buffalo.
Okay, but we get back to something I said yesterday. Is that necessarily a good thing, or is a Carl Paladino candidacy going to be exactly what the Republicans don't need, and that is an energizing force for the Democrats in a year when the Democrats are already supposed to be super energized?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's probably something you won't hear from any other person that's been mentioned in this race. There is not a single man or woman who has thrown their hat in the ring that, you know, is not going to win New York 27. It's an R plus 11. There are people that are, we just saw a Zogby poll that showed independents are now moving up 4 points higher than they were in June to support Republicans in the midterm elections. And the reason for that is the economy. And by the way, they're going to go back to the second quarter and they'll adjust the growth like they do all the time. It's 4.1, it's 4.5. Remember, Obama did that, but the numbers went the other way. It's like unemployment's actually worse than it was when we reported it. You know, in the last 3 weeks, we found some missing people that didn't have jobs. These are the exact opposite numbers. These are historical unemployment numbers. They're unemployment low with African-Americans, minorities, women. And the other thing that you're seeing is, you know, the manufacturing jobs, the promise that these jobs are never coming back. You know, for a while, Obama was trying to tell us that our nation is going to be a nation of website developers,
right?
That the only future you're going to have is to learn IT. Hey, you're 65 years old and you got laid off. Guess what? Learn coding and you're going to be great. You'll get a job anywhere. Those manufacturing jobs are coming back. We're seeing, you know, and also people are making different decisions. Do you want your kid to go to a four-year school? Do you want your kid to learn a trade? That used to be a bad word 4 years ago. If your kid wanted to be a welder, you know, there are people that was like, oh, you're better than that. You don't have to learn a skill. Come on, go get an education and really show that you want to make a living. That's ridiculous. Community colleges and getting into the military, all of these different options that are out there, manufacturing jobs through the roof, people are making things with their hands again. This is going to continue to grow. It's going to be a working class problem for Democrats across the country. New York 27 is no different. We're a cross section of that. And, you know, it's a very eclectic county. You've got farming, you've got, you know, immigration, for example. As we have the immigration debate and we talk about the wall and drugs and everything else, New York 27 has a lot of dairy farmers. Dairy farmers don't have the same deal as crop farmers do, right?
Right.
The guest worker program is not. So there are folks that are going to say, wait a minute, you know, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, but in my job, this is the type of labor I need. It takes, you know, and a lot of these elected officials that are in rural counties, they understand the farmer's plight. They understand that it might not. It's different for someone that maybe, you know, is in an area that doesn't have a lot of farmers. But again, I don't think there's anyone in this field that is not going to give the Democratic opponent the fight of his life. How they do it is going to be a little bit different. You know, is it going to be an aggressive, you know, campaign? Are we going to try to go after this kid and rip him to shreds? I'm not sure that that's necessary at all, ever. But if, you know, people are going to have different styles of campaigning. Some people are going to have different styles of raising money. And again, the self-funder model is a very, I would think that these chairmen and women are thinking that the self-funding model is very intriguing now more than ever. because of these other competitive races. Now, that being said, that Zogby poll has shown the Republicans moving up a little bit. And, you know, the better the Republicans do, the more, the less money that the NRCC has to start dumping into races because, you know, with a 5-point spread in New York 27, do you really need to put $3 million into this race? Not exactly. If you've got Ohio 12 and you're up 6 points, do you really need to dump $2 million in that market? Probably not. That's Columbus,
you know,
Ohio.
David, there are some people who believe that maybe David Bellavia does not have fire in the belly, and I think what they are doing is they're confusing your graciousness and your honor and your integrity with a disinterest. I mean, and it's always difficult to communicate in the mass media because, you know, you're a class act, obviously, and your, you know, honor is one of the bywords of your life. And you have been so gracious towards the other candidates that some people are misinterpreting that as, Bellavia doesn't really want it. David Bellavia really doesn't want to run for Congress. So how badly do you want it? Not that you don't enjoy getting to spend 4 hours, 5 hours a day with me every day, but.
Well, look, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, the Collins candidate model back in 2012. A lot of people were upset in the Republican Party the way that that went down. It basically, you know, someone waited. Collins waited for the district to be drawn up, and then he threw his hat in the ring, and it scared everyone out. There were the same people, the same names you're hearing today, were interested in 2012, and they wanted to do it. I'm the one that took him to a primary because I thought that there was a complete difference, and I've told Chris Collins this, you know, during the contest, after the contest. I told him we see service completely different. That would be the definition, is that, are you doing this because it's your time? Are you doing this because this opportunity is something that you can't turn down and you'll never get a shot like this again? Or are you doing this because you feel compelled to step up and do something, you know, for your country and for the constituents? And, you know, I can't answer that for everyone else, but I got around this district when it was brand new. Nobody knew who we were in Ontario County. Nobody knew anything about Collins or Bellavia and Livingston. And the thing that I'm most proud of is that, you know, whether they voted for me or they didn't, they're like, you know what? I like the way you handle yourself. I like the fact that you're still talking to us. You still come to the barbecues, that you still do what you can do to help out. That makes me feel good. And I feel like I'll have that even after this you know, thing is over. But there's no point in saying that you're running for a race that doesn't exist. Back in 2008, when Tom Reynolds retired, I ran at that. You look at Stefan Mihailu right now, multiply that by 17. I opened my shirt up and offered to wrestle the chairman and women, whoever wanted to arm wrestle me. I was super aggressive, and I upset a lot of people. I upset a lot of chairmen. They're like, who is this kid? What is he doing? Does he think he's still in Fallujah? What's the deal? And so I've learned a whole lot of just calming down and realizing that there's nothing I can do. There's absolutely, you could just tell them who you are, what you're about, what you want to do, what are your ideas. You know, one of the things that this process is so rapid, it doesn't allow you to talk about issues. And that's really what motivates me more than anything else in the world, is like, let's talk McCain-Feingold. You know, let's talk foreign policy. Let's talk about what's happening in Russia and the Ukraine and all these different things. You can't get into it because we're in a hurry-up mode to find out, you know, who's the person that's going to represent the party.
Do you have any inside knowledge that you can share with us? Oh, sorry. Did I say inside knowledge? That's awfully Chris Collins-esque. Do you have anything that you can share with us that you know that most people don't know about the polling that the Republicans have been doing?
They're going to continue to poll, and they're going to. And again, I don't know of anyone in this field. If they did a poll yesterday, they did a poll 3 days ago. I don't know anyone in this field that is losing the race to the Democratic opponent right now.
Now
that
me,
might change.
But before we go any further, let me give you the phone number. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So, I'm sorry, you know, there's nobody that is running that actually is trailing Nate McMurray.
Not from what I've heard. But here's the thing. I mean, these polls are going to come out, and you're going to see, you know, a landline poll versus a cell phone poll. You've got
who's got landlines anymore?
Well,
I mean, methodologically, it seems somewhat flawed to me.
Well, theoretically, if you have a landline, you're probably more likely to vote. You're an older person, whatever the case may be. But again, it's the saturation of the poll, where it's coming from, how they break it down. But listen, you can get a poll that shows that you're up 35 points, Hillary Clinton. And you could find out on election day that you're not up that high. You can hit people with robocalls and mailers and then find out that really annoyed people and they don't like that. Or that you run a commercial that's negative and it turns off people. And you think, well, more Republicans came out to vote. This is a good sign. And then it turns out that those people are skipping your race because you somehow, you know, offended them or annoyed them or anything else. So, to me, the only poll that counts is on election day, and everything else that's being handicapped right now. Any person that has an R next to their name has a R plus 11 advantage, period. And I don't know of anyone that is in this race that you could look at and say, you know, that's, you know, that person really has no business being in this race. You're not getting, a complete neophyte that just walked off the, you know, out of a car and showed up and said, hey, I'd like to move here and run for office. These are all accomplished people and they all have skill sets and they're very decent human beings. I mean, I'd love to be able to point to one and say, stay away from that guy. That guy's horrible. He's going to infect the entire, you know, but here's a good thing. I don't want to see any never Trumpers.
Right. No, how could you?
I'd like to know that, you know, every Republican that's in this race, you know, supports the president, supports the president's policies. It would be nice to know that if the Democrats did win the House and that happened that, you know, I mean, Nate McMurray has said that he wouldn't vote for impeachment. I mean, Nate McMurray's on the record saying, I would not vote for impeachment unless there was a reason to vote for impeachment. You can look into that all you want, but it would be a little ironic if the Democratic candidate was more open to giving the president a shot than one of the Republicans there. So, but that is not what today is about. Today is about the calendar, narrowing it down. Then you're going to get into the questions and you're going to get into, you know, everyone's path to victory. How can you raise money? What's going on? You know, how do you see the world? What do you feel about the president? What do you feel about these different issues? I hear a lot of people that, you know, they own guns. They love guns. It's all the typical things you would hear from a conservative Republican. Of the other candidates, I was out in Amherst the other day. You know, you're not going to hear Ed Rath, for example, is not going to step up and be like, I hate guns. Right. You know, they're all Second Amendment guys. They're all, they all have their Republican platform, conservative, right of center talking points. There's no, I don't see any left of center, you know, wanted to be a Democrat, found themselves to be a Republican. Again, it's going to be who the chair people want. And again, Erie and Niagara County, they're holding a lot of cards because that's those two counties lock in on one candidate. And unfortunately, they just have the numbers. The other chairmen get washed out and that happens. But, you know, what can you do? It's a 8-county system and everyone's honorable and everyone's above board, and that's all you can hope for.
Well, we need to break on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, if you have any questions or comments for David Bellavia about what's going on tonight with this meeting and about NY27, this would be the time to ask, because if you don't, we're going to get into some other things here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And let's get the very latest in...
I'd like that. That'd be fun for me. Can we talk about something else?
Can I just tell you guys, David Bellavia is so modest. There's one thing that David Bellavia cannot stand, and that is talking about David Bellavia. I have to literally bring David Bellavia out of his clamshell to get him to talk about David Bellavia, which quite frankly speaks volumes about David Bellavia, but then again, I'm biased. No, we're just, and by the way, just some inside baseball stuff right now. I would say that WBEN and I are this close to a new long-term deal. It's all but signed. There's just a couple of little things that have to be taken care of, but you're stuck with me on the radio for, I'm going to say, quite a while longer.
Quite like 10 years?
I will just say quite a while longer. In other words, I will not be running for Congress. Let's see. If nominated, I shall not run. If elected, I shall not serve. How's that? Does that sound good?
So, yeah, no, I totally hear you. But right now, the eight county chairmen and women are getting together in Batavia, New York, and they're going to they'll come down with a calendar, and they'll have candidates ready, and then the whole process kicks into the second act, and whoever makes it through the first round is, you know, they'll do interviews. To me, this is a little similar to what happened in the special election in 2011.
Or The Apprentice.
Or The Apprentice. With Chris Lee. When Chris Lee stepped aside, Jane Corwin came out of that. There was the same process. You had all these Republicans come together, and they vetted them, and the next thing you know, they pick their candidate.
Well, we are going to talk about much, much more coming up after 6 o'clock at News Radio 930 WBEN. So, yes, you're stuck with me on the radio for a little while longer. And, for those of you, and I cannot believe, we'll get into this maybe a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour. I hate to take radio time to do it, but Mrs. Nerd Bowerly and I want to do a listener appreciation party. So you can reserve the date of September 8th for Bowerly Stock. And it's not a radio station event, and I'm not looking to make money off of it. It's just like a thank you party for listeners. And apparently it's shaping up into this major, major, major event. And I kind of feel like the guys who were putting Woodstock together back in 1969, like, what if I'm planning for X number? Like, I can't do it at the house. I thought about it, and there's already too much interest in the event. So I'll give you what I got so far after 6 o'clock, but it will be on September 8th. That we do have the date for, so set aside September 8th. Ain't nothing else going on that day that I can think of, so that's going to be the date.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.